We give you all the viral stories that are just about to drop. Just please, oh please, oh please, oh please, don't let this flop. If you keep scrolling, 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 and you're never gonna stop, then please, oh please, oh please, oh please, don't let this flop. From stupid songs and dances, all the cultural advances, we will cover them from bottom to the top. Just please, oh please, oh please, oh please, I promise you'll appease our please, oh please, you please, don't let this flop.
Welcome to Don't Let This Flop, a podcast about internet culture brought to you by Rolling Stone, where two smart people talk about the dumbest shit that happened online this week. I'm Brittany Spanos.
I'm EJ Dixon. That tagline is quite apropos this week because, Brittany, where were you last weekend?
I was at Coachella.
My God.
Yay.
Even saying it is just like, I know someone who went to Coachella.
It's, yeah, I was there. This is the second Coachella I've attended. And if you're wondering why I sound so stuffed up, it is literally because of Coachella. I do not have COVID, but I did inhale nothing but sand and dust just whipping through the air all weekend. And so now my sinuses are ruined potentially forever. No, I'm just kidding. Probably for at least a few more days. There are two weekends of this every year. I don't know why. It's just thousands of influencers and wannabe influencers are just descending upon what I consider to be the absolute worst music festival. Like, people love talking about Coachella, and I think it's people who have not been to Coachella. And it's also, like, it's just, like, in the most gorgeous place possible, which is Palm Springs. It's in the desert. Everything about it should be great, but it's just simply insanity. Again, you're just inhaling a ton of dust and sand. You're trying to navigate a bunch of photographers and videographers taking photos and videos of various people who you don't recognize in just bad outfits. And, like, you're just trying not to trip over any of them at any point. It's just always, like, it's poorly mapped out. So you're getting caught up in weirdly congested areas full of millions of rolling teens. Then it takes hours to even leave the festival because Palm Springs is not built for this. And so it's a mess. It's just a horrible time.
Before we go through, like, your Coachella talking points, can you go through a list of some of your celebrity sightings?
Yes. Okay. So I went to, like, the VIP section there, which is just, like, on the festival grounds. They have, like, this big, giant sort of, like, VIP area. And I immediately almost tripped over one of the chain smokers, the hot one, because he was just, like, sitting in a weird place and I wasn't looking really, but also he was sitting in a weird place. And so I almost tripped over him. I did see, I believe, Logan Paul, the older one.
Again, apply the chain smokers formula to the Paul brothers, unfortunately, because one of them is kind of hot and the other one is not hot. So which one was it?
I don't find either of the Paul brothers hot, though. I don't know. They both kind of look the same to me. I have really bad white male blindness. And so it's even worse with them because they are brothers. Saw James Charles. We made eye contact because I was just like, I think that's James Charles. And it was. And so he was there. And then saw Young Gravy. Do you know who Young Gravy is?
No.
I know he makes music. This is similar to Modson, where I know he makes music. I haven't listened to it. I only know the context around him, which is that I see a bunch of TikTok videos of him all the time. And I think his whole thing is he's really into MILFs, is what I've gotten from.
MILFs?
Like, yeah.
Who isn't?
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's like his brand, you know? It's like, who makes that their brand? But that's his brand.
I kind of love that that's someone's brand.
Yeah. He's cute. He's tall. But yeah, like, I know, it's just like, it was such a shit show. It's just really hard to get around. Great lineup this year, though, I will say. Great lineup of acts that performed. That's really the only saving grace of Coachella. But, like, the environment and the vibes off. Just bad on the actual festival ground. And the other thing with Coachella to know about this, more than any other festival, I've been to a lot of music festivals. Coachella is the only music festival that's really built a party scene around it that's almost as big as the festival itself. So because it's a destination festival that's, you know, it's 2 hours out of LA, it attracts a lot of huge names, like not just influencers, but there are like huge celebrities there that attend, like Rihanna very famously would attend years and years on. You know, there's always just like a million kind of like big name. There's Oscar winners and there's like, you know, like tech people. And there's like all these like big names that are there beyond just like the basic influencers. So there's a bunch of parties that attract a ton of people there to attend during the day or after the actual festival. And there was a lot of influencers this year, especially like documenting going to these events because many of them were flown out by different brands or flown out to attend specifically these events where they take pictures with all these like branded things. And one of them was the Revolve Festival, which apparently a lot of influencers compared to Fyre Festival because it was kind of a shit show to get to and from on the free shuttles that they provided.
There was pushing, shoving, shouting, yanking people in front of the buses, people standing in between the buses, like while they were moving, just to get on these buses and get to the Revolve Festival. Big yikes. Sorry, Revolve, but I really hope you take into consideration everyone's safety and security next year.
I mean, yeah, like I could see how that's annoying, but that's not the same thing as being stranded on Exuma right. Island with like a piece of bread and a cafeteria lunchroom salad.
And our colleague Tim Chan, who attended Revolve Fest and was in the desert with me this weekend for Coachella, did say that that was not true. Like there was a long wait for the shuttles. He did talk about that, but like he also said that this was just a case of entitled influencers getting annoyed that they had to wait, which, and I'm going to add again, like it is a shit show to get around this area. Like everything is so far, like even to get to all the parties, unless they're next door to Coachella, they are like 30 minutes away, 40 minutes away. That depends on traffic, like because it's just like Palm Springs and the desert is not built for this many people to descend upon it in cars.
All right, let's talk about the Snickers dick fan.
Yeah.
All right, so this is a new segment. It's called Moral Panic of the Week. Because we talk about them so much on here that we felt it was time that they should have their own segment. Yeah. And here's where we talk about the latest ridiculous thing that parents and or Republicans and or gullible reporters are freaking out over. And this week it's the Snickers dick vein. Brittany, if I say Snickers dick vein, I just want to be sure that we're like on the same page.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Cool. Because I know you were in the desert and you might have missed this.
I was off the grid.
Yes.
In the desert.
Yeah. It's the little bumpy thread that runs through Snickers candy bars. It's a classic. I'd probably be freaked out if I had a Snickers and I didn't see one. But what actually alerted me to the idea that perhaps the beloved dick man was no longer was this article that was circulating on Twitter with the headline, "Did Snickers remove a dick vein?" The premise was that woke mobs, quote unquote, were campaigning for its removal, which struck me as very weird for a few reasons. Mm-hmm. Like, first of all, I troll far right forums a lot. I've never seen anything like this at all. Like, I haven't seen anything about dick veins or Snickers dick veins. Second, why would the left clamor to remove a dick vein? If anything, I feel like we would be advocating to keep the dick vein, no?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think so.
It's a vaunted institution.
We love the dick vein.
Yeah. By the way, as an aside, I wanted to ask you this. I don't know if we should keep this. But it's actually like a friend of a friend who says that he gets a lot of dudes on Grindr because of his prominent dick vein. Is this something that you're familiar with? Like people fetishizing the dick vein?
I don't know. I don't think that's a thing.
I don't either. I think it's bullshit.
Cause I remember like, it was like a thing, like, you know, like when in high school, you know, and people would like draw dicks over everything, and it was like always really weird when someone would draw like a really veiny dick. Like it was especially crude for someone to draw like a veiny dick.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about, like when people just draw dicks everywhere.
I do. It was like the best artists would add a vein to their dicks, whereas like if you were just like an amateur dick artist, you wouldn't include a vein, but like the people who drew anime like in between class would draw a vein.
And it was like a big deal that they're like, oh, you drew a veiny one.
I mean, this all is sort of reminiscent of the backlash over Mars making the green M&M less sexy by removing her white boots. Yeah. Do you remember when that happened?
I mean, I think about it every day. That was the end of an era.
I mean, the left was furious about that.
The bimbos were silenced that day. The bimbo community has not been the
same. And the himbos would have been silenced if Snickers removed the dick.
No, I feel like the thing was with the green M&M is that wasn't because of like some sort of like she was too sexy and there was like a conservative backlash. It was like the idea of like this is like a, I think they tried to sell it as like a feminist sort of thing.
Yeah, which is like, stupid.
She wears sneakers now.
Which is objectively, stupid.
My feminism is being a bimbo. Like, I want to wear some thigh-high white boots.
That was a very stupid panic because it was sort of like the right was panicking over the left, panicking about whether the green M&M was feminist enough, which was honestly like a legitimate thing for the right to, I feel like, get pissed off over.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like it was sort of like a similar thing here. Like the premise was that the right was panicking because the left was panicking over the Snickers cock vein being too explicit. But A, no one would do that because everybody loves the Snickers cock vein. And B, nobody was panicking about anything at all. But it became a whole thing. At this point, even Snickers has weighed in, tweeting last week, "Good news, contrary to what's trending on Twitter, the veins remain." If anything, people should have gotten angry at them for erasing the term dick from the conversation.
Yeah. It's a little, I don't know, it's a little weird they didn't say dick vein. Just call it a dick vein.
Call it a dick vein. That's what it is. That's clearly what you want to say.
Yeah.
Just fucking admit that your candy bar product is a dick and that it has a vein.
The Snickers was created by someone who used to draw veiny dicks in high school.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Confirmed.
So part of the reason why this rumor about Snickers taking away the dick vein, part of the reason why it even existed in the first place is because of a tweet by a user called @Juniper. Juniper is something of a semi-professional media troll. She last created the fake goblin mode trend, which we talked about a few weeks ago, and was written up by outlets and taken seriously nationwide. And recently, she tweeted a fake news headline about Snickers removing its dick vein because of quote-unquote woke mobs and quote-unquote cancel culture prevailing, end quote. She later posted a follow-up tweet that went viral with a photo of a smooth, veinless Snickers, and the caption was, "It's already beginning. I just bought a Snickers, my favorite treat, might I add, and it came out completely smooth. I am disgusted. I am shocked. I need to be alone right now." She said that she meant the tweet as a way to poke fun at right-wing media covering cancel culture and woke mobs, but it ended up being taken seriously across all sides of the political spectrum. So we decided to have Juniper on to talk about what it's like to inadvertently start a moral panic on the internet.
My name is Juniper. My handle is @Juniper, and my display name on Twitter is Transgender Marks, and I basically just post on Twitter. That's the main thing I do online, is just post.
So how did you initially find the story, and I use story very loosely here, the quote-unquote story, about Snickers removing the dick vein? Did you, like, immediately clock it as fake news?
I made it. I made the original. Well, I didn't make the original, like, joke with the Snickers dick vein story, but I made, like, the original, like, fake headline that set off this whole... I guess, what would you call this? Like a fake news maelstrom. So I made that like headline.
So tell me about that. What was the inspiration behind making that headline? When did you make it?
So I think I made it, it's like a week ago now. I guess my thing on Twitter, I've kind of fallen into like making fake headlines and just kind of running with it. And my followers kind of know that at this point, that that's like one thing that I do on there. I don't know if you guys heard of Goblin Mode at all. Did you guys see Goblin Mode?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was for me as well. I made the headline that kind of set off the whole like Julia Fox thing.
Yeah.
So ever since then, I've just been doing that and seeing what happens. And the Snickers dick vein was just another instance of it kind of going off. And becoming a thing that people thought was real again, just like the goblin mode thing.
So what is your ultimate purpose? And I saw your pinned tweet also sort of refers to how easy it is to create fake news. Like, what is your purpose in sort of trolling the news cycle like this? Is it ultimately to like actually try to plant these stories, or you're just like throwing shit out there and trying to see what's going to take off?
It's a little of both, I think. I just enjoy doing it just because I think it's really funny seeing what happens if it gets in like a cycle of people taking it seriously, because it's genuinely like one of the funniest things, especially if you make it. It's just really funny seeing how it like just spreads. But also just, partially to mock specifically right-wingers, like a lot of these like headlines that I make that are fake kind of mock like the whole cancel culture, you know, their whole thing right now is focusing really like on wokeness and like cancel culture. So I kind of like riff on that concept a lot with some of these headlines. And that was part of the Snickers Dick Vane one, where it's like, oh, because you know how I'm assuming this isn't a right wing podcast.
Yeah, that's a correct assumption to make.
So you guys know how they'll freak out about anything. It could be, I mean, they freaked out about Dr. Seuss, like, what was that, like 6 months ago or whatever. So I just have been kind of pointing out, I guess it's like a satirical way to point out how just ridiculous they are about some of these things. And just how, like the media will take these stories and kind of run with it and not even realize and not even like verify anything. Mm-hmm. So I would say it's like, just for fun, because I don't know. I think it's fun to deceive people online, but also to point out, like this whole fake news thing, and to just mock right wingers, because that's also fun.
I'm curious, like, what happened sort of in the kind of quick lifespan of a tweet like this? Like, how quickly does it go from like your followers who are in on the joke to a bunch of people who are taking it too seriously that you're talking about cancel culture?
I've noticed that, like, when they go off, like, as they have to go off really fast. Like, I made another one a few days ago about, I'm not a huge fan of Glenn Greenwald. I don't know what you guys think of him, but I made a fake headline about him, and it didn't go off too much, and that kind of stayed in the realm of my followers for the most part. But the ones that like tend to really go off are ones that get like a lot of really quick quote tweets just from people that don't have any followers in common with me. And I've noticed that's when like they really just spread, and people will repost the fake headline like without like retweeting it or quote tweeting it, and it'll just kind of like spread naturally like that, where it'll make its way to like Reddit, or like I've seen them posted to like Facebook before. And that's when I've noticed it really gets out of like my range and just like into the public consciousness, is when I don't know, it's like mostly when it's quote tweeted or like posted elsewhere like really quickly.
Why did you decide to tweet about Snickers removing its dick vein to begin with? What was the inspiration behind that?
So that's been a joke that I've seen around for a little while, because I think when it was M&M, they changed the green M&M's like design a few months ago. Do you guys remember that story? Tucker Carlson actually talked about that like on Fox News, about how that's like wokeifying M&M or whatever. And I made like just a few posts riffing on that, like about Snickers at the time, like back in, I think that was what, January, maybe December. I can't remember now, but, and I just felt like that joke didn't have like its full potential reached. So I made the fake headline just offhand just the other like a week ago. I don't really even know what prompted it. I just was like, you know, I'm gonna make this joke again in a different way, and I'm gonna see what happens. And it just really went off for some reason. I'm not sure what like the zeitgeist moment was this time, but it struck a chord with people for some reason this time.
And what was the craziest reply that you got to the tweet?
Oh God. I'd have to check probably, but there was a lot of crazy replies because like at first it was a lot of my followers like making jokes mm-hmm. and riffing on the post, but a lot of people too just posted a lot of like, I think there some of them are edits, but just like a lot of pictures of like Snickers, like that look like an actual dick, I guess. Like it's hard. Basically that it's like maybe someone eating a Snickers in like a I don't know, like a suggestive way, or just like a lot of like pictures of Snickers. Those were pretty insane. I was surprised how many pictures like that existed online. Yeah. Of people eating Snickers.
You also tweeted
that was pretty wild.
You also tweeted a photo of a veinless Snickers, which is kind of what really set this off. And I consider myself a pretty sophisticated like news purveyor, and even I'm not sure, and even I don't think Snopes, when it debunked the story, was sure whether or not that was a real photo. So can you clarify that right now?
So that is a real photo. It's not a photo I took.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so I found it. I just typed on Google smooth Snickers, and I found a really old Reddit thread. I think if I remember correctly, it was from like 2011 or 2012, mm-hmm. and it was like on the mildly interesting subreddit, and it was an actual Snickers. As far as I'm aware, it wasn't Photoshopped. It was an actual smooth Snickers that someone just happened to have like 10 years ago now. And I was like, oh, this is it. I'm adding this to my post. And to my surprise, when I added that post to the thread, you're right. That's really when it went off.
Yeah.
That's really when the post went, I would say, like super viral.
And finally, what, if anything, did this experience teach you about the viral economy on Twitter?
It's with this and Goblin Mode in particular, because both of these moments have been really similar in the way that like I'll make like a pretty ironic, pretty clearly ironic post, like riffing on stuff and yeah. like making a joke, but just how quickly once it gets outside of your circle, how quickly people will take that seriously and won't like check to make sure it's true, or just it really reinforces to me just how easily you can trick people. Like I hate to say it, but it's really easy to lie to people online. Like yeah. it's really shown me just how, like, if I had malicious intent or if someone else yeah. had malicious intent, just how easy you can make a fake story about like trans people or like I don't know, just anything. And I mean, it gets picked up by it could get picked up by people with horrible intentions.
Yeah.
Do you
to me that's like the main thing.
Yeah.
Do you think? I mean, there are some that would argue that you did have malicious intent by actively trying to plant a fake news story.
I guess that's true. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, deceiving a lot of people in this way is it can be harmful. And I'll be honest, this this might be harmful. I mean, I saw a Fox Business write a story about it, and I checked the comments because for some reason Fox Business has comments on their news stories on their website, mm-hmm. and there was very clearly boomers reacting to the story, saying like, "Oh, there's these young people these days don't have their priorities straight. They're the woke mobs are freaking out about candy bar. What is happening?" And it's yeah. like, I guess in a way that's pretty bad. I mean, that is yeah. pretty bad, but I'm mocking the people. Like my intention with the post is to mock those right wingers. And obviously they're not going to get it. They're pretty stupid. And mm-hmm. it's just like, my purpose is to point out how stupid this, the woke mobs or like cancel culture freakouts are. But I guess when you do like deep irony and sarcasm, it doesn't translate when it gets that big.
Yeah.
I mean, people take it seriously.
Yeah.
So I guess in a way, yeah, you could argue that it's bad. It does have bad outcomes.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Juniper. It's not every day we talk to a professional fake news conservative troll or
purveyor.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. No, thank you for inviting me. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Let's do straight people.
Straight.
people.
Speaking of Coachella earlier, which as many people know is straight culture attending Coachella, infamously bad kisser Timothée Chalamet, Timmy, I don't know, and numerous names we can call him, apparently made out with someone, or maybe he didn't. So there was a Dumois post that someone submitted, a photo of Timmy with a blonde chick, and the message read that the girl in question was Victoria's Secret model Sarah Tlaibi. So I missed this Dumois post, but I did first hear these rumors through a statement made by Tlaibi where she did a very viral deflection of the rumors. EJ, do you want to read the statement?
So she said, everyone is asking me if I was kissing Timothée Chalamet at Coachella, and that is a good question. But a great question would be asking our world leaders why the Earth is now losing 1.2 trillion tons of ice each year due to global warming and why climate crisis reform has been completely ineffective. Can I just say I hated this? People thought this was so funny. It made me really angry.
It's stupid. It's really stupid.
It's really fucking stupid. And somebody sent this to me like, oh, you should, like, sent one of my friends in media, like, oh, you should try to interview her. Like, why would I try to interview somebody who's that self-serious and, like, uninteresting? That, well, you have to use, like, climate change as, like, a deflection point for the one interesting, so because you don't want to talk about the one interesting thing you've done your entire career.
What I love about the statement going viral as it did is two things. One, the fact that she's still like she became, no one really knew who she was. No one knew who she was before the statement came out. So there was already just like 75% more people than previously had known her, knew her now. And also just the fact that it completely blew up in her face almost immediately because of everything else she's done and also did after this. So people started to share the actual photo that Dumois posted. And the photo is of Timothée with a blonde white girl who looks nothing like Sarah, who is blonde but half black, and whose twin, and also like her sister, she has a twin sister, Leah, who's also a model who has blonde hair, looks literally nothing like her. Like the photo is just, it's a completely different person. Also, apparently Sarah's not even a Victoria's Secret model. There's no history of her modeling for Victoria's Secret.
She's a liar, like Dakota Johnson.
Yes,
and,
she is a liar.
And SZA.
So, I mean, immediately that would just be like, oh, someone mistook her. However, it seemed more PR stunty after BuzzFeed News' Kelsey Weekman detailed a history of getting incredibly fake pitches from the Tlaibi sisters' publicist, including the debunking of a non-existent rumor that the twins were both dating Bryce Hall. Just, you know, she was just saying it's not true, even though that was not even a rumor that existed in the first place. So
did you see that she also wrote into Dumois after Dumois posted that and was like, I can't believe that you would like post such incredibly fake rumors, like, and sort of like implying that like, oh, Dumois, there used to be like some semblance of decency and like journalism ethics attached to Dumois.
Yeah.
And just like total attention seeking, like clout grabbing.
Total.
Behavior.
And like, I mean, yeah, it's like with that, with knowing the context of how them and their publicity team worked before, it is very clear that this was a setup on their parts to make them famous. But now they are doing a true milkshake duck. And I don't know if you saw the latest update, but the sort of activism part of their brand is like a big part of their Instagrams. They share a lot of like videos where they're talking about different causes, all of that stuff amidst their sort of influencer-y type posts. And now Sarah and as well as her sister Leah are embroiled in a bit of controversy with this author Leah Thomas, who claims that the Tlaibis plagiarized both her book and nonprofit organization. So they ripped off the cover design and the description of Thomas's The Intersectional Environmentalist for their PDF-only release of a book called The Intersectional Feminist. And in the book description, the sisters even go so far as to say that they popularized the term intersectional feminist on social media, which is a level of delusion that is so far gone that it's almost iconic.
It's giving Emily Ratajkowski, honestly, like I'll just say it.
It really is. It's just like a real kind of like who would even say that? And also someone had pointed out that like the cover that they had done, like the this PDF only like cover of this book, was like the first it's like three fists that are have like painted nails, and it's like the first image that you see in Canva when you search feminist. Mm-hmm. And they just like pulled that.
So they just like Google image searched or like put it into Shutterstock. That's smart. Yeah. You got and you so gotta respect the level of grifter there.
It's a very blatant ripoff, and they also stole, they like created their own sort of like nonprofit, well, allegedly have a nonprofit that seemed like it might not be real, that ripped off all the descriptions from Leah Thomas's own nonprofit.
I mean, what makes this even funnier to me, did you see that there was another model that Timothée was caught smooching with allegedly? Over the weekend, not to say that he like didn't smooch two models in one weekend, because I would be shocked if he didn't.
It's Coachella. Who didn't?
Exactly. But like, do you know her name? I had no idea this person existed. It's like a fairly big Instagram model, and she has the funniest fucking name I've ever heard.
What's her name?
Cindy Kimberly.
No.
Cindy Kimberly. She's Dutch. She's a Dutch model, and I honestly thought she was like an AI influencer because of the way like. She looks like somebody put Cindy Crawford and Emily Ratajkowski like in a blender and like made an Instagram account.
Not that.
But yeah, he allegedly smooched someone named Cindy Kimberly instead of either of us, which is offensive. So speaking of straight people, you may have heard of Abby Shapiro, the sister of the far right provocateur Ben Shapiro, who very famously doesn't make his wife come.
I said certified freak 7 days a week. Wet ass P word. Make that pullout game weak. Yeah, you effin' with some wet-ass P-word. P-word is female genitalia. Bring a bucket and a mop for this wet-ass P-word.
Abby shares a lot of his views. She's a YouTuber. She goes by Classically Abby. Her thing is talking about... I mean, she's best known for talking about how men and women have traditional gender roles they should adhere to. She went viral for pretending that Harry Styles in a dress on the cover of Vogue didn't make her horny. She got all angry about that.
Which, like... Imagine.
It's for attention. It's clearly for anybody who says that Harry Styles doesn't make you horny in any capacity is saying it for attention.
Yeah.
She made a video called PSA, Men Wearing Dresses is Trash.
People were saying, oh my gosh, Harry Styles in a dress is just my type. He looks so handsome. He looks so great. No. Incorrect. As somebody who loves the fact that my husband is a man and is masculine, seeing a man in a dress doesn't really do it for me. I'm going to be honest.
And she also regularly goes viral when people find her opera singing and realize that she can't sing. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs burst in air. But another thing about Abby Shapiro that we should probably note is that unfortunately she's very hot.
Okay, I want to be specific about that.
Okay, fine. Because I wrote, unfortunately, she's very hot, but I realize I didn't consult with you, so I want to reflect your views here.
She looks like her face is Ben Shapiro's face. I don't think that she is hot. I do think she has just a huge rack, just jumbo yum yums for days. enormous boobs. Good for her.
So you think people only find her hot because of her giant yabos?
Yeah, because of the double D's and let me see them.
We've used like four different terms for boobs here, each one better than the next.
Wait, my friends and I were actually looking up a bunch of terms for big boobs recently because it was funny.
Mommy milkers is a good one. That's a very like zoomer friendly one.
There was this a term for small boobs called Irish potatoes.
Yeah.
I think jumbo yum yums is my favorite and has been a fun one to use in everything.
I think she's pretty beyond having jumbo yum yums. She looks like a girl I would have gone to camp with, also a girl who would have been mean to me. But that's my own shit. That's my own sexual neuroses. I mean, the reason we're talking about Classically Abby this week is because, first of all, she just had a baby, which mazel tov. And that's a very straight people thing to do.
Yeah.
So she could have made it in the segment for that alone. But secondly, BuzzFeed writer Kelsey Weekman, this is her second shout out. Congratulations to Kelsey. Second shout out in the pod.
Hell yeah, Kelsey.
Love Kelsey. Tweeted, I need to know why Drake is following Ben Shapiro's Fundy influencer sister on Instagram. And frankly, I want to know that as well. Do you have any theories?
I think it's because, hold on, I need to look up a new word for this. I think it's because of her lunch pails. I don't know why they...
What the fuck are lunch pails?
I don't know. I'm on the article with 100 hilarious historical names for boobs. I think it's
we'll link to it in the podcast description.
I think it's because of her bodacious tatas.
Is lunch pails like from Little House on the Prairie when like people would walk 5 miles to school and like carry lunch pails to class? Yeah. Is that the derivation?
I think it's because of her lumps of temptations. I think it's because of her dinner buckets.
Okay. I mean, I agree. I think it's because of her dinner buckets as well. But I just want to entertain. I mean, do you know more about Drake than I do? Like, is there any reason to suspect that he's politically aligned with the Shapiros at all?
No, I don't think so. Okay. If you look at Abby Shapiro and her wallopies, she looks exactly similar to the mother of his child.
Really?
I don't know how much older she is.
She doesn't look like her name's so, you're crazy. You're tripping.
I don't know. We've already gone through my white face blindness. I can't tell the Paul brothers apart, and I've had to cover them before.
I think your problem here is you're getting different like white ethnicities confused. Like you're getting Jewish and Italian and French confused, which is fine.
It's all, you know, they both look the same. They have, you know, yeah, I think similar body types. Like, I don't think their faces look the same.
Yeah, okay. So,
but I think Drake is terminally horny. And he's pretty apolitical in a lot of ways, but he also kind of leans a little bit more left in his own politics. I cannot see him having any sort of alignment with Ben Shapiro and his politics, or Abby Shapiro and her politics.
So clearly he follows her because he's horny for her. I think we can legally say that. Yeah. I think that'll pass legal clearance.
I think that is the accurate way of looking at it.
Like, it kind of,
based on my own Drake studies, over the years, you know.
Yeah, it aligns. It aligns with what we know about him. I don't think we need to add an alleged. Maybe, do you want to add an allegedly in there, just in case?
Allegedly.
Okay. Drake is allegedly horny for Abby Shapiro.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking. Like it got me thinking. Like, pretty much everyone I know who is fairly politically aligned, like everybody I know is like various shades of left leaning or liberal. They're all secretly attracted to Abby Shapiro.
Again, she looks like Ben Shapiro. I don't know. I don't see it in her face.
Ben Shapiro is not. I'm sorry.
Don't do it. Don't you? Don't you dare, EJ. Don't you dare.
Ben Shapiro is not the ugliest dude I've ever seen. Sorry.
He is so ugly. He is not so ugly. Look at that man, and I understand why he has no concept of WAP. Like, I'm sure his wife dries up every single time she sees him. Like, that man is ugly.
That's not fair. If he wasn't abhorrent, you would think he was like a cute little short king. Like, imagine he had the politics of like Hassan.
I would absolutely not.
I would.
No.
I would. I get it.
I'm looking at a photo of him right now, and I am not seeing what you're seeing.
I didn't think he's hot. I don't think he's hot. I just don't think he's ugly.
Okay, well, EJ wants to fuck Ben Shapiro. Okay,
fine. If that's going to be the headline here, then so be it. I will die on that hill. If that's the thing that my career ultimately gets ruined for, I deserve it.
EJ wants to show her Walter Mitties to Ben Shapiro. Okay,
yes. Fine. The thirst over Abby Shapiro got me thinking about... like, what are some other examples of like cross aisle thirst? Like, who are some other people that you would want to show your bodacious tatas or your lumps of temptation? to who you don't necessarily agree with politically.
Okay, I have someone worse than Ben Shapiro.
Can I guess?
Who?
Guess. Is it Madison Cawthorn?
Yeah.
I know.
Unfortunately, he's kind of hot.
I know. Nobody says it. Nobody says it, but he is.
He really is.
He's just, you have to leave politics out of these things. Like, we have to be able to have conversations. Like, I think we can leave politics out of this. We can talk about who we want to fuck.
Honestly, I mean, this is also gross. George W. is kind of hot, too.
Yes! I was going to say that, too. You know what it is? It's the paintings.
Yeah.
It's the paintings.
I think it's because he's, like, he clearly looks like a, he has, like, coked up frat bro energy.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that W is like the hottest amateur painter war criminal.
Yeah.
That
it's good to have a thing.
I love his paintings. I think they're absolutely fucking unhinged. There's something really charming about them, even though he's clearly psychotic.
Yeah.
I mean, I was gonna say Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is my favorite Mitt example Romney. Of this. Yeah, so hot.
Yeah, so hot.
Do I care that, I mean, I'm an animal lover. Like, do I care that he rode with his dog, like, strapped to the roof? Like, yes.
Yeah.
I do. It's bad. Can I still admit that I want to show him my numbs?
You gotta say it with more conviction.
Can I still admit that I want to show him my num-nums and my fun bags? Yes. I can.
Yeah.
I can admit that.
Yeah.
There was a point where I would have said the same thing about Paul Ryan, too. Not so much anymore.
Yeah, there was definitely a point when I wanted to show my lung warts to Paul Ryan.
Your lung warts. That's really good. 2012 was a really horny election year.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to talk about it. Too much on the line. I think it's time.
Yeah. We're here now. We're willing to admit it. We're brave enough.
This is very brave, honestly. Yeah.
I'm mad you got Madison Cawthorn on the first guess.
Speaking of which, great segue into Himbo.
Yeah. So welcome to Himbo of the Week, where we crown someone for being hot online. And I know this is like a thing, right, with like your For You page where you scroll through and there's always like a preview of like different TikTok lives that are happening, even if you don't follow the people. And so I always find myself sucked into these various lives. And I often get ones that are like soothing, sort of like art making lives mm-hmm. that are happening, which are always an automatic click for me. So this week was no different when I stumbled upon a hot, curly-haired himbo silently sculpting dinosaurs out of the red wax Baby Bell cheese comes in. His name is Rex Curtis, and he is my husband.
As most of you know, these are all endangered species I sculpted out of the casings from a Baby Bell cheese wax. And tonight, I was working on this pangolin. So I finished putting the scales on the arms.
He's so good at this.
Upon further review of his videos, he is a gentle king with a soothing voice who loves making sculptures of endangered species. He recently bought some red polymer clay to experiment with. I just find him so relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a nice brain massage. He's just so hot. Like, literally so hot. And I love that this is his activity. And I would love to own one of these.
Does he sell them?
He should just send one to me. Along
you
with-
don't want to pay for it. You don't want to give him money for his labors. You just want him to send it. Well, this is good press for him. I mean, to be honest.
Yeah, he should just send it and marry me. He seems so sweet.
I just want to know how he like figured out he could do this.
I know. We should interview him.
He would be a great interview.
I was just going to hit on him the entire time, though. But we should interview him.
That's the danger with having the himbo come on.
Yeah.
For the interview.
Yeah.
Because you remember what happened with Samson.
Yeah.
I lost my shit.
Yeah, you were not doing well.
I was really flailing. It's just like, it's too hard. It's too much.
It's too much.
But But we can try again. We can try to have Rex on. Maybe you can retain your composure where I couldn't.
I won't show off my bag of snakes. Another term.
I didn't know what you were referring to.
That one was a little more conceptual. From
that
your
one
tango.
Sucks.
That's
that
not
one,
great.
Whose boobs look like bags of snakes?
I don't know. That sounds kind of alarming.
Yeah.
He wears a lot of rings and he has these beautiful blue eyes and looks like the love interest in a 90s teen movie that would cast two old adults. Like, I'm obsessed. And that, you know, he just has immaculate himbo vibe. So congratulations to Rex Curtis. Love of my life. Baby Bell sculptor. Beautiful man. Thanks so much for listening to Don't Let This Flop, brought to you by Rolling Stone and Cumulus Podcast Network. Written and hosted by me, Brittany Spanos, and EJ Dixon. Executive produced by Jason Fine, Bridget Shelsey, and Elizabeth Garber-Paul. Edited by Dan Stein. And original music composed by Daniel Martzleft.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you were only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.